count three. Hey, I said cue the talent. Two, and one.
Attention hobbyists, sports fans, and collectors nationwide and abroad. It's time to get hype. All a part of. Live from the Mojo Break Studios, it's Dan and Doug.
Come on!
So, get hyped. Be hyped. This is The Hype.
What is going down, everyone? MojoBreak.com, The Hype, episode number 134, coming at you. Once again, practicing some social distancing. That's why you don't see any faces on the screen, but it's all right. You don't need to see our faces anyway. So, but we got a juicy show. We're going to talk about blockchain. There's been some flawless blockchain cards we talked about last week. I was incorrect about some info. I want to clear that up and apologize to Panini. But I also want to look at the way that they're doing things and talk about the future of digital cards. Like, is it going to make a big impact with what we're doing? We're also going to talk about some just ugly, god-awful products. So that's coming up. And then we're going to debate the top four most influential NBA players of the last 20 years. So which will spark some good conversation. Once again, you can follow us at MojoBreak_com on Twitter and Instagram. If you want to get into a break, you can go to MojoBreak.com. We're still live 7 days a week doing breaks, guys. All the newest products, all different types of breaks, all different types of price points. There's always something to get into to keep you entertained, because that's, you know, everybody's watching Netflix. Everybody's, you know, exhausted. Joe Exotic, you know, you're going through all those things on Netflix. You're looking for something to do. You can get into a break. At variable price points, find something that you like to get into. And everything's scheduled and guaranteed on MojoBreak.com. Dan, what's going down?
What up? Whoa. A little loud over here. What's going down?
Oh, man. Just living it up, man.
I am catching myself on the other microphone. So after I do this little intro, I'm going to move over here and close
that. Oh, I can't
door.
Hear you.
Okay. Well, no, because I can hear
the way you're pointing
myself through that microphone.
Gotcha.
It's got a little... It's a little funky, little bit of natural reverb going down.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
How many more bagel bites have you ate since we talked last?
No bagel bites. I haven't been rocking the. I've been saving the frozen food. You know. You don't know how long the corona is going to be around, so I'm just holding on to that. I had some enchiladas last night. I didn't make them, but they were delicious.
Where'd you get them from?
Jen made them.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's...
I thought you gave in to DoorDash.
No, I'm not doing that. I'm trying to survive here. I'm trying to survive the corona.
Gotcha. C-Rad, what's going down, man?
What's up, everybody?
What's new? You watched Pandemic. You said it was good.
Parasite.
Yeah. Well, there's a movie called Pandemic, unfortunately, too.
Great movie.
Who's in that one? In Pandemic? Is it Matt Damon?
I don't even know. I see it come up. It's also funny.
Or Ben Affleck? Which one of them.
Really? It's like the same guy. Right?
One of those dudes.
I keep seeing Doomsday Prepper trending, too, which is kind of interesting.
I don't know. What was that?
Doomsday Prepper.
I used to watch that show years ago.
Never heard of Doomsday Prepper?
I've never had, no.
It's people that are preparing for Doomsday, hence the title. But they build, like, underground bunkers and they have guns and, you know, stuff like that. But it's ironic that if you go on Netflix, it's, like, trending. You know what I'm saying?
Why wouldn't it be?
Well, exactly. It,
I mean, that's where we're at right now.
Yeah.
What's going on? I mean, what do you... we're going to talk about, obviously, some other stuff. But you think... home stretch? We've had the first pitch yet? Do you think the ball game has started?
I think we're in like the fifth inning.
No, okay, yeah, I don't know about that. That's we already got the bullpen.
Yeah,
fired
we're talking
up
about sports. We got the NFL draft coming up soon.
So you think both starting pitchers are out of the game and we're into the pens?
I think so. I think we're ready. I think we're good.
Yeah, I think. I think we just introduced starting. We may have had the first pitch.
Like the great Puff Daddy said, ain't nobody going to hold us down. Ain't nobody going to hold us down. So
I think we're, don't think the fifth inning. Maybe after the first.
After the first? Well, We'll see. That's you know.
I mean, you could be right if we're done and we basically are all back to work and you know. Oh, almost did something crazy there. But yeah, I mean, we could be in the fifth inning if you think that May 1st we're back to business as usual.
I think so. I'm pleasantly you know, I'm optimistic.
Right, you're a little bit more optimistic than I am. I'll give you that.
That's it. You know, you got to balance that out. You got to balance it out. Talking about nobody can hold us down. Nobody can hold us down on Flawless yesterday. We had some massive hits being pulled, as you can see in the next screens. We hit a Tom Brady 2 out of 5. Was a big boom. We also hit a beautiful Barry Sanders booklet patch. And then we were doing a good amount of Prism Draft 2, that 2020 draft class. We hit a Color Burst Joe Burrows, which was phenomenal for somebody opening a personal box, which we're actually, we've got a really good sale going on that. So check it out. A lot of times we've got some really good prices on personal boxes.
What do you mean sometimes?
I'm all the time.
Probably. All the time. All the time.
Great
all
prices.
The times.
Great prices. Tremendous prices.
Oh.
And then, and then in the next screen, we hit a Joe Burrow's auto to go along with it too. So, football has been on fire with the new releases. And, we've also been going backwards, doing some Bowman Chrome, Bowman Sterling. So we've been doing a little bit of everything. But I wanted to jump in. I want to, first off, apologize to Panini because I didn't have the correct information last week when I was talking about blockchain. So they've inserted a blockchain redemption in every box of Flawless, and it is the 11th card. So it's not even a real card. It's only a digital card. So when Panini first released the blockchain on their website, they were doing it with a real card and a digital card. So you'd get two different properties. You get the digital card and you get the real card mailed to you. The cards that are in Flawless currently are only digital cards. There's no real cards attached. So I want to make sure you guys know when you're bidding on stuff on eBay for your PCs, whether it be, you know, maybe you're a Drew Locke fan or a Deebo Samuel fan like myself, it is not a real card. So just be wary. There's no redemptions in Flawless. So if you see something on eBay that's a redemption, it is a digital card. So don't be fooled by it. Because I think there's some of the bids on eBay, it's absolutely crazy. I think people think that these are real autos because I just can't see the way the market's going on these digital cards.
Oh yeah, people are going to be extremely upset when they realize when they get their redemptions and they redeem it and they only get the digital card.
Yep. And I went through a bunch of listings and there wasn't anybody like, it should probably say digital card in the listing first.
I mean, but granted, a lot of the people that are hitting these probably don't know either.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's super confusing.
I go back to, 2016 Contenders, I think, where they had the digital autos that were inserted into boxes.
Yes.
I think you actually got one per box.
And that was for their Blitz app.
It was like the Blitz app, and it was a digital version of the card. Now, and those were going for like maybe $5, $10, maybe on release week they were like $10, $20. I think maybe the Elliott or the DAC in 16 was going for maybe mm-hmm. $25, $30.
Maybe
but this was a digital card. What make and you know just to start a conversation. What makes this different than that? Explain it, Doug.
Well, for one, those weren't numbered. There wasn't any parallel versions. These are actually numbered to 25 or less, like Flawless. And unlike that, the only way once it's redeemed, as you can see on the screen here, once it's redeemed and it's in Panini, it cannot move from Panini. So the only way, and here's a picture of a current auction for a digital card, a current auction. And I actually bought, just to see how the process works, I actually bought one yesterday. I scanned it, and it showed me the card. It had this nice little animation of what it was. So if you're looking at the white piece of paper that you're getting out of Flawless, you don't know what the card's going to look like. So it gives you that nice little animation. Oh, that's pretty cool. And then it goes in your account, and then you have the option to sell it. Now, the only thing I could see was that you could only do a 24-hour auction. And you could only do bids in increments of $5, but you can start the bid at whatever price you want. So if you wanted to sell it for $20, start the bidding at $20. You wanted to start at $5, you want to start at $5,000, you can do so. And then there's also a buy it now option that must run concurrently with the auction. So if somebody really wants that digital card, they can hit the buy it now. But what's blowing me away, and for you guys that are listening audio version, I'll do my best to describe this whole thing, is there's bids on almost everything that's up there. So it's confusing to me, because if you look at the Lamar Jackson, which is a cool-looking picture, once again, let's make it very clear, this is a digital picture of a card. There's no physical card attached. It's a one-of-one Lamar Jackson digital signature with a Nike swoosh, and it's at $165 currently.
Do you, let me ask you a question. Do you think people right now that are bidding on these, do you think they're confused because of the original Panini blockchain, how that works with the physical card?
It's possible.
Well, let's break it down like this. So we break every product. We like to think that we're in the know when it comes to pretty much all things sports card related.
Yeah.
We didn't know. Nobody told us.
No.
So if we don't know, and it's literally our lives, and we do this almost, I mean, we do it for 50, 60, 70 hours a week, and we didn't know, how is the average collector supposed to know?
Yeah. Right. And that's my whole thing. If they wouldn't have done the initial offering of 100 cards that had real cards attached, if they would have just came out and it just been digital, I think people would be less confused. But the fact that they had the original auctions that were physical cards, I think everybody's just assuming, like myself on last week's show, that they were real cards. So I don't know if these get paid. Now,
this Kyler Murray we're looking at right now, and I win the bid for $165. I'm assuming there's going to be a $165 price tag or ledger attached to that card. So if I decide to sell it, people will be able to see at this day it sold for $165.
Correct. And that's the part of this I like. And before, I know everybody's saying who would not want a physical card, or who wants a digital card over a physical card. I've got some arguments for both sides, and I'll explain that to you guys here. I think this is cool in a sense that it's pretty protected. Once the card is on Panini, like Dan said, there's a digital ledger. So if I sell my card for $165, and then a year later Kyler Murray's on fire, and I sell it for $300, now it's worth $300, and it has that ledger of it going up, almost like a Zillow account.
So,
right?
it has a collectability attached to it with essentially using cryptocurrency.
Right. So they're.
So let's just say that's what it's Panini's attempt to get into the cryptocurrency game.
Correct. It's not necessarily so much they're not going after the average card collector. In my opinion, they're going after the flippers. They're going after people that are watching the stock market. They're going after people that are moving some of their assets into Bitcoin. Because in a sense, if you invest this card at 100, we'll go back. If you invest $104 on this N'Keal Harry, that is now shows everybody that you paid $104 for it. So now you have it at that price. You're probably not going to sell it for lower than that unless N'Keal Harry's out of the league and he didn't succeed. But if it's a guy like Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, Peyton Manning, any of these guys, it's going to be an asset that possibly is going to go up, especially if you invested in it and there's only a few copies made. So there's only a few copies made of each, so you're pretty protected on where this, you know, is going to lie. Now, is it cool for somebody that collects cards? I don't know. I'm trying to dissect that.
I think for the traditional card collector, I'm not into it. That's me personally. I ain't digging it. I don't want to. I want the card. I don't want the digital card.
Right.
That's it. That's right. How I roll.
And I'm the same way. But I'm going to actually be a devil's advocate here on a certain point by saying, hey, if you want to show off some of the stuff that you've bought, you can't really carry your shoebox of cards around with you in your car, right? But if you have a whole digital collection and you're talking to the ladies at the club,
yep, nope,
you
can. They don't care.
They don't care. But you can show them. Like, this is my asset.
It's like having a digital version of a Rolex and showing somebody a picture of that, and being like, "Hey, check out my digital Rolex."
But don't you? When you're buying a stock, you don't actually physically have anything attached to that stock.
You used to.
You don't have a note
They used to give you stock certificates. You may be able to request them. I don't know.
I guess, right? I mean, so I guess
they're... Can't. I can't compare that to stocks.
I see.
I see where you're going with it, but I... No.
That's Chris brings up a point. My question is, are they all BGS black labels? Are we going to start doing digital grading next?
Can we do digital grading? I mean, you got to assume it's a clean card, right?
Looks pretty clean to me.
My issue is it's a digital card. You could mock up the patch any way you want, right?
Right.
That Inkeel Harry that we're looking at right there, that's a bogus, lame patch. You can put anything you want on there. You have.
Hey, at least it's three color.
It's three color, but you're getting like barely a piece of the jersey, like the actual number. You can make it. I know, granted, on the lower numbered stuff you can make, but you can make that a really nice patch.
But there's 10 of them, so maybe one out of the 10 has a nicer patch. So now you're differentiating all the 10s, right? So now you within the actual 10 that are made, there's different patches.
I think you can do better.
I think you could,
too. I think you can do better.
Well, here's the astounding thing, and this is why I put Inkeel Harry. So this Inkeel Harry has a bid at $104 for, once again, a picture. You're buying a picture. It's a digital image. You can actually go on eBay and buy the NTRPA, his best card made, for $119. For a real card.
With a nicer patch.
With a nicer patch. You could even buy the gold Contenders Optic on the next slide for even cheaper than that. So at $106. So is the person that's buying the Inkeel Harry confused, the digital version? And I don't want to say, this is allegedly, this is just a thought. Is there, because it was the first day of auctions, do you think everything that has an auction on it may be a little fluffed up? You know what I'm saying?
How could people not be confused? How can you not be confused? I would be confused.
That would be
confused. That's why we're doing the show.
Yeah. Well, it's very interesting because we've had digital cards in the past. You know, we've had Topps, which was mainly a game. We had Topps Bunt, we had Panini Blitz, we've had NBA, whatever, and those were all based on games and stuff like that. They weren't low, short printed digital cards that Panini's now doing this blockchain. So, but imagine once they're probably going to do it with basketball. We're probably going to see when Flawless comes out, when NT comes out.
We ain't done with this. This is going to be. I mean, will they start producing products that are only digital cards? Are we going to open up a box of cards that's going to be just blockchain redemptions?
All right. How far does it go?
How far? And I'm just going to say right now, like, you don't have to pay. You have to pay a designer to mock the card up, but you don't have to pay the athlete to physically sign it.
But there has to be some kind of rights, right?
You probably have to pay the Players Association for the likeness of the player, and the player probably gets a little cut of that, and the league itself for using logos. But you don't have to pay a printing facility and the raw materials to print up the stuff.
Well, I mean,
this could be a situation where it could make physical cards more valuable if you start seeing less physical cards in the marketplace.
Right. Well, I'm interested to see how Panini makes their money. I didn't take enough time to study that. I do have a bid on my card at $60, so we'll see if I actually...
You don't. It's not a card.
Well, my...
Your image.
My image. My image I'm selling. Let's refrain from saying card.
Yeah, I don't say that because it just adds to the confusion. There is no... The only tangible item that you have with this is the redemption card.
Yes.
That is it.
Yes. Right. That's it?
That's it.
So, but when my mine sells, which it's going to, and I don't know how they're going to enforce the other person to pay me, they made me put in my PayPal information before I could sell. So before I could even sell it, I had to have my PayPal information put in and verified. So I'm sure that somebody that's bidding has to do that as well. Is what I'm assuming, because I haven't bid on anything. And I'll see. I'm interested to see what kind of cut. They're going to have to take some kind of rake to make this worth their time, to make this worth having somebody updating this portion of their website constantly, updating the codes. There's got to be some kind of cut they're taking.
The only saving grace is that at least it isn't replacing a card in
yet.
The product.
Yet.
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 So that's why I'm seeing these bids on these things, and they're saying, wow, look at this. Look at this Inkeel Harry. They're telling themselves Inkeel Harry's going for as much.
That patch is pissing me off, man. Stop showing that card.
What about that patch?
That's better, and it's a physical card. That pisses me off.
Theo did in the chat, says the blockchain auctions was made for the flippers to sell to other flippers. And that's an instance where you actually don't have to do any work to flip something. You don't have to, other than putting the code into the computer.
No, you just scan it on your phone, right?
I couldn't figure out how to do that. I had to put the code in.
Oh.
I didn't see where I could. But there is a QR code, but that's one thing. Panini site's really hard to navigate. I couldn't do it through the app. I had to go on the website through my phone to actually put the code in. So it was very kind of interesting on how they're working that out. Yeah, because
that kind of defeats the whole idea of the QR code, is to pop open the app, take a picture of the QR code, and bam, there's your card right in your account.
Yeah, well.
I mean, unless it was
user error.
If I was somebody who was drawing up an app, that's how I would roll.
Ham Bergeron says,
I know it's a lot easier said than done.
Ham Bergeron says, I took a screenshot of that and saved $100. Hey, I got a whole collection. That's true. You could just take a picture of all of them up there and be like, hey.
Well, that's the thing. You want to sit there and talk about showing off your collection at the club. You just take pictures of these and there you go.
I got my collection. Yeah. Very true.
And I mean, obviously, like, do they have a trading aspect of it? If I have a, because you don't, obviously, you can leave them in your account. When you put them in your account on the Panini site, you don't have to sell it. You can just leave it in your account, right?
Yeah.
So do they have a trade option where you can be like, okay, I'm not a Patriots fan, but, you know, I'm a Niners fan. I want Deebo Samuel for a N'Keal Harry.
Not that I can see
can
yet.
Can you swap them?
Not that I can see it. So I don't know.
Because that would be, I mean, again, you're not going to have that monetary attachment.
Yeah, how do they do the ledger on that then, right? The Genesis or whatever they have on there for the...
That's true. So it probably isn't going to happen.
So it's probably just going to be assets being traded. But I almost think that we can't look at this as trading cards. We actually have to look at it as a form of currency to be okay with it as collectors.
I'm going to look at it as an image of a card.
C-Rad, what's your take on this?
I don't know, man. I gotta see it more. I gotta see it more.
You gotta see more of the redemptions or more of the physical mock-ups?
What's the market looking like on these blockchain digital only cards? At the end of the day, I want to see some basketball stuff go up on there.
I want to look at this in 3 weeks.
Yeah, well,
because I actually do. I think you're right. I think people are bidding on these, going like, sweet. I'm like, cool. I'm gonna get a digital version of this card, and I'm gonna get the physical version of this card.
Yeah, imagine getting a swoosh Kyler for $160, right?
Came up, awesome. and I'm. Man, a part of that buy it now is actually low,
right?
Because if somebody was confused, they'd be like, I'm just gonna buy it now for $500,
right? Because it's a shield.
So you gotta also think, like, let's play the if it's too good to be true game, it's probably too good to be true,
right? Right, but honestly, and yeah, before we move on, I put up the card yesterday, and within 2 hours, I had a bid on it, so it was, I blew my mind. I was like, this is never going to sell. This is never going to sell. I'm not going to sell this. So with it, well, like I said, we'll see if I get paid on it. But there's more cards popping up by the minute because people are opening these products. And there's more and more stuff that has bids on it. So it's literally blowing my mind. And I want to know who's buying these. And if it's somebody that's confused, it's a real card. Now we'll look at something that is absolutely hideous and is the worst card ever made. Ever made, right?
Dun, dun, ooh, dun.
Over Doug's duels.
Ooh. Wow. So for you guys that are watching this, I'll just let that sink in for a little while. Courtesy of Blowout Cards Forum, this Giannis sketch is terrifying. I think more than just the sketch is terrifying. I think the fact that the patch is miscut is terrifying. I think the fact that the 8x10 was destroyed that Giannis probably signed is. And then Beckett actually slabbed it on top of that. They looked at this and they were like, yes, we're going to slab this for you.
You know, on the stream, whenever I hit a Giannis, I always like mess up his name on purpose now, just because I think it's funny. Like, I just want to see what
Ante Toto Papa.
No, so like the way I say it is, I say Giannis Ante the Bloom Blow. And that looks like Giannis Ante the Bloom Blow on the screen right there.
It does. The sketch, so for you guys listening audio, there's a super break, the bar card. It's a one of one. It's probably about I'd say about 5x7 in size, so it's not card size regular. There's the sketch of Giannis looks like if Giannis was in Mike Tyson's Punch Out, but also like you know if like Giannis got cloned 10 times, like Multiplicity. That's what like the 10th Giannis that was cloned, kind of had a little the jaw was sagging a little bit. That's kind of how it looks. And then there's a piece of his game used jersey that was just cut with a butter knife and put in there. And then the 8x10 was cut out. Was actually kind of cut clean. They might have used the actual paper cutter on that. And it's a 1-on-1, and it's a product that somebody actually makes, and it's absolutely terrible. And we've talked about Super Break on the show. You can tell we're not fans of it. And I don't know who still buys it.
You should be ashamed, Super Break. You
should not buy this product anymore. Here's just some like, other examples of Super Break's genius.
We need the up close.
There's the up close of the Mike Tyson Punch Out.
Ande da Bumbo. Don't disrespect the Nintendo developers like that, dude.
I know, I did. I kind of put them down, didn't I? But I think the Multiplicity, the Doug, the movie with who's that, Michael Keaton?
Yeah, I actually like the comment in the chat about making a digital version of it.
Digital version of that, yes.
When you say, I mean, that relic, this is not the first time we have talked about this company.
And it won't be the last.
And it won't. You're right. I can't believe people are still supporting it and buying it, but they are. And that's the fact. That relic cut is that's tough, man. And you say butter knife. I think it's like children's scissors. Like it just you can't cut anything. Look at it. Or you just ripped it. Like you just started ripping cloth and like mm-hmm. The
teeth.
The portrait speaks for itself.
Under the bumblow.
Does he have a bald spot right above the ear there? Is there a bald spot on his hair? Or are they miscolored?
It's
where his tooth should have been.
It's got an Art Nouveau vibe. And but people buy it. That's the other thing. Like we sit here and talk about it and we rip it and all this stuff. But people are still buying it.
Who? Does anybody buy Super Break recently? I want to know who. Reach out to us. I want to know. And I want to see it. I want to hear success stories.
We won't shame you.
Because maybe honestly, we're only seeing the bad stuff. Maybe I'm missing out on, an awesomely cut Giannis card that I missed out on.
I will say, years and years and years ago, I had seen some stuff and we had sat down and actually had a meeting with Super Break. And they were showing some stuff, some bar cards that were coming out.
They were nice.
That were phenomenal. They had a bunch of Jimi Hendrix and Beatles, and like the art was like amazing. I don't know why the art would go downhill so fast.
Oh, bad, big time.
There's a lot of great drawers out there you could subcontract them out and they'll make you a nice drawing.
It's one person working at the company.
Are you saying that they're doing everything themselves? Like they're,
are you saying you can't make that Giannis card yourself? You can't do that.
I mean,
maybe not quite as good as that.
Even if I did, I wouldn't pack it up and call it a product.
Well, that's my whole point. That's our whole point of talk. What, like, and then look at this. There's a James Harden, and once again, this is about a 5x7 size card. So what he did was he bought a base Panini card. Actually from Panini VIP, so he actually splurged a little bit, is out of a VIP gold pack. And then he bought a Harden jersey. He made the patch window about 10 times the size of the actual patch. And then the patch, once again, not cut straight again, and slapped in there. And now you're supposed to be like, yeah, I want to have this James Harden card. This is what I'm a James Harden PC collector, and this is the card I want. I think I'd rather buy this and cut out the piece of cut out the H. And just put it on my desk or something. Would rather look at that.
I'd buy this and just keep the base card, and I'd probably throw the patch in the trash.
Right. Keep the base card. There you go. But like Harden wore that supposedly. So Lewis is in the chat saying they got to be make it terrible on purpose, right? No, not at all.
This is a real company. They legit probably think this is what they're making.
Is that a sticker that's cut off something else?
Yes. So this is a this is a George Springer, which it says Legends, by the way, which I don't think George Springer's played long enough to be considered a legend. It's a George Springer Bowman Platinum card. Once again, about 5x7 in size again. And it's a one-of-one cut autograph from a licensed manufacturer product. So what they did is they actually cut the sticker off of a card, put it in, once again, too big of a patch window, and called it their own. Like, why?
Yeah, I mean, I actually do got to say, the design of Super Break 5-6 years ago was not bad. This now, it's like, it's almost like it's a joke. Like somebody is like you're saying,
how bad can we make it? People still buy it.
How bad could we do this until people are like, this is where I draw the line. unless you know, it's not the same people who are involved in it as they were before, and they have no idea what they're doing.
Could be.
Because I mean, is that Ivan Drago? Is that Dolph Lundgren?
That does look like Dolph Lundgren. It's Christoph Porzingis.
He dies.
This one's so bad, I actually thought maybe somebody could be faking it to sell it. Like, it's so bad that I think somebody actually, hey, maybe if I just make this out of my own stuff.
That is a... that's a piece of, like, construction paper.
Looks like it.
Put down as your base. And the sketch, you cut off his hair.
Yeah.
His hair's cut off.
It's a 101. It's a 101. Those are the actual scissors they use to make the products right there. So, I mean, they're so into saving costs that, you know, they make sure that they recycle old rusty scissors.
These are like pictures of actual cards, correct?
Correct. These aren't fake.
You're not just messing around and doing the Doug Zules again. And
no, this is real. And for you guys, once again, you guys are listening to the podcast, Google Super Break the Bar. Just do it. You'll see what we're talking about. Super Break the Bar. Go to completed listings. Go to new listings. The Giannis has 4 days left. It's surprisingly at $70.
I mean, we sit here and say it. But again, I'm actually going to go back and say not only are people buying it, but there is multiple distributors that are distributing this.
Yes.
And sending out sell sheets and, you know, looking for pre-orders. And we get pre-orders for this product all the time.
Right.
I mean, no matter how much we tell our salespeople that we work with for distributors that we will never buy this, never buy it again, ever, 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 we still get it.
We still get pre-orders.
They think at some point we're gonna be confused and slip in a one or two in there.
I mean, even the Larry Bird, whoever was doing the photoshopping, you know, stretched it to where Larry Bird looks like he's way too tall or way too skinny on that photo on the left. And then actually on the right, he looks way too thick. It's like they took an image that was smaller and they stretched it out to fit on the card without putting the proper dimensions.
They need
in
a
there.
Graphic designer.
They need something.
They need a graphic designer. They may be hiring.
They could, yeah. You guys might want to submit. What I look at this as, and they did when they first started, they actually did only buybacks, and that's what they should probably stick with. But I'm thinking like, how can we maximize profits? How can we make like 150% on our margin? And that's what you get. Is you got a guy making everything himself, cutting it with rusty scissors, doing Photoshop on his own, you know, basically drawing things on his own, it looks like at this point.
People are buying it. The thing is if nobody was buying it, then there would be no product to make. People are still buying it.
Stop buying it.
So maybe we don't see how great it is.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder?
Maybe this is just... We don't get it. It's above us.
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, I guess, right?
Maybe.
I mean, but for me, I also got a question. So he actually does put on the back where the jersey came from. You can actually see on this Larry Bird, it says practiced used jersey gray flannel COA. These cards are so bad, it makes me question if that's even authentic at this point. Because, I mean, if he's cutting so many corners on the way that the design looks just, and the sketch looks, wouldn't he cut corners on where he acquires the jersey
from? It blows my mind that, like, the bar cards, again, I go back to this, the bar cards were really, really, really nice looking.
Yeah, when they first came
out. When they first came out, they were phenomenal pieces. They were great conversation pieces. Why would you build something up and have everybody like it and then just run it into the absolute ground?
I get it.
Why would you even want to damage your reputation or your name on that release to make something that looks like that? I don't get it. I'm not 100% sure it's the same people who were doing it 5-6 years ago that are doing it now. Yeah. Like, because it just doesn't. The quality now is just not even close to being there.
Yeah, if you watch some old videos, so Super Break came out, and they actually purchased the Yasiel Puig Superfractor for one of their buybacks, and they actually ran a story on ESPN. He was there. He did a video of it and stuff. This was like in 2013. So. And he was going to nationals, dropping off products to us, saying hi, fluff, you know, having a face to the company. Nobody has seen this guy in the last like 5 or 6 years. So you may be correct. It may be somebody else, and that's why they're not coming out. They're just like, you know, dropping these products out, and they just bought the name from him. Maybe he sold the name.
Yeah, we don't. I don't know. And I just, and when I say amazing, I mean compared to what we're looking at now. Look at the older bar cards, and you're gonna you'll look at it and be like, that is a far superior piece.
Yeah, they had the Beatles. They had
there was a Teddy
Roosevelt. They had multiple president ones that they did, and there was actually a gold piece in the card. Now it's just a picture of a gold piece.
Yeah, dude, something.
I would love to find out some more info because we've not heard about anything from this company, but they keep making products somehow, and the products look like this. But anyways, we'll move on. We got one last topic before we end the show and get into some breaks for today. I think almost everything is sold out today, guys. I think there's a few spots left in Hobby Hybrid. So the breaks, it's been crazy. I mean, it's there's more demand for product these days than we can keep up with, which is literally unpredictable from where we were at on March 18th when we heard the shelter in place. So once again, thank you guys for keeping us busy and you know, allowing us to do this during what we got going on in this world. We appreciate it more than you guys know, but it's been literally insane. I think because people have time, you know, and you know, it's their escape. It's their escape to come and, you know, break some cards, get into some products. But I wanted to talk about this this tweet that came out probably about a week ago in regards to basketball, and it's the four most influential players of the last 30 years. And it's got Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, and Steph Curry. And I don't necessarily disagree with this. I want to hear your guys' opinion on it. I think there's a lot of outrage for Steph being on this list. I think that was the most common hateful tweet on this was Steph Curry not being allowed on this list. We'll start with C-Rad on what your opinion is on this list. And is there somebody else that maybe should be on this list that we're not considering?
When they use the word most influential, there's absolutely nobody else that should be on this list. These are the top four, in my opinion, in terms of basketball. People might be confusing influential with the best player, whatever, you know, whatever the conversation always is with the top five of all time and all that. But for most influential, you can't deny what Steph has how he changed the game of basketball, how every kid coming up nowadays want to be the Steph Curry, you know what I'm saying? So there's no question to me that Steph belongs on the most influential list.
And for those that don't think Steph should be on the list, then who should replace Steph? What player is being forgotten about here?
What about if we can do it right now, and we can all three of us do it. Why don't you rank those 1 through 4 most influential players out of those four?
Well, in terms of the hobby or in terms of life?
No, in terms of influential over just basketball and maybe business of basketball.
You know, if it was my greatest in order from 1 to 4, it would be different than my influential list. I think my
influential, not who you think is better.
Kobe's number one. LeBron's number two. Jordan's 3 and Steph's 4 on my list for influential.
We could say it 100 times.
Just not saying
gonna,
that.
Yeah. No, I get it. I mean, there's Dwight Howard's not on there, so you don't have to don't get weird. What do you think, C-Red?
Most influential for me in order is probably, man, it's tough. LeBron, Jordan, Kobe and Steph.
Wow. And I think we actually are all going to be different here.
Yeah.
Most influential out of those four, I would put Jordan, Kobe, LeBron, and Curry.
So Curry's four on all of our lists.
Curry's four on, and I could say why Jordan, and the reason why Jordan is number one is when I said the business of basketball, nobody has had a brand in with Nike in Jordan. He just blew up basketball.
It was a marriage made in heaven.
Kobe number two because what he did for the international market.
Yeah, and I'm teetering between LeBron and Jordan right now. I had Jordan three at this point, but I'm thinking, you know, because of the shoes, I kind of thought about afterwards. I might make him two. The reason I have LeBron there is just because, you know, what he's done social media wise recently, you know, in the last 10, 15 years, obviously. The thing that he's been a little bit more of an ambassador for basketball than Jordan was. Jordan kind of seemed like he was more like, hey, I'm playing the game, but don't really, you know, I'm not going to really go out of my way to do public events and stuff like that, like what LeBron does.
Yeah, it's just I think when you look at influential, I think you take the Jordan brand name and that makes him the highest on that list.
Yeah.
Because LeBron doesn't have the brand name. Kobe doesn't have the brand name. Curry doesn't have the brand name that Jordan does.
But I think for our hobby and in basketball, I think Kobe, why I picked him the most influential is because he actually brought the overseas.
That's why I picked Kobe number two, because he grew the international market of basketball.
Yeah.
LeBron, I mean, definitely, I try to pinpoint what did LeBron actually do besides just be one of the greatest players ever. And what did Curry really do besides change the game in the way that you got to shoot threes in order to be a top tier player?
The big three was kind of created with the Celtics, but I think the super teams and the way that the NBA's kind of started grouping up to where it is now, I think was originally kind of started and influenced by LeBron with his, you know, not one, not two, not three, you know, we get Wade and Bosch together. I think like the NBA, and that may not be a positive thing, but it's the way that players have kind of started to work together. Like what you saw with Durant and Kyrie and some of these players I think you had that kind of impact with him. What do you think, C-Rad?
Yeah, and I think when you talk in terms of Curry, I mean, being able to change how the entire game is played, I would say that deserves a nod into the most influential, because it's like, you know, people thought of basketball in one way for so long, for almost forever, and then you got a kid coming in who shoots like, you know, the greatest shooter of all time and completely changes how, like, the kids growing up now, like, want to play the game of basketball. Right. So it's he gets a nod, like, if I don't understand how people want to take, maybe I could see an argument, maybe not in the top four, but he's one of the most influential basketball players of all time.
Now, who could you, before we leave, before we end the show, we'll do a little roundtable here on if there was a fifth person in the last 30 years, who would it be? And I'll start. I actually was thinking about this before Chris put it in the chat. I was thinking Shaq. Just for his influences on how he played the game, you know, really made big men popular, who were really as popular as they were once he came on the scene.
Yeah, but that definitely faded out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for 20 years, Shaq was almost king of the world.
Yeah. And he also came, he definitely changed the, he definitely made it more popular, but, I feel like that the basketball was already like a big man's game anyway, right? When he came into the league.
Yeah. Yeah, and he kind of took the big band to another level. What do you think, Dan? Who's your
who is
number five?
I mean, you can maybe Harden.
Yeah.
Maybe Westbrook. Westbrook, a guy who basically does everything, Mr. Triple Double. But again, like, I don't know if they're influential. I think basically you have the four guys up there that had a hand in either changing the business of basketball or changing the way basketball was played. I don't know if there's any other players in the league that can say that.
Yeah.
So I don't think I would add anybody, but if I had to add somebody,
What about Allen Iverson? Would you rank him up there with those guys?
He's pretty excellent. He was pretty
good. I mean, with his swag, his style, his dribbling capability, which we hadn't really seen at the time.
What did he influence? I mean, I can get behind the longer shorts. I get that. But what else did he?
I mean, he had the cornrows, the headband. I mean, it was just swagged out at the time. That he was like the.
Yeah, he really, but he really was.
But there wasn't a lot of there wasn't a ton of players besides the shorts that were following in his look. And we're talking about like we're talking about his look as being influential.
I think you could say like a Jason Williams kind of copy, like his dribbling style. As far as like you know, you had a lot of nobody was really known as an ankle breaker until Allen Iverson came around.
Yeah, I don't. Nah,
I'm just shooting off names.
I wouldn't want to add anybody.
C-Rat, what do you think? I know that's such a category by itself here.
I'm just kidding. I guess we'll see. But I really find it like, I mean, if you got to go, you got to go back to like some of maybe like the 80 legends.
Like,
you know,
Larry, like Larry Bird. Or something.
Like Magic, you know what I'm saying? Like that's maybe somebody like that, but I don't know.
Yeah, I feel you. That's, yeah, Magic's Chamberlain. A good one. Will Chamberlain.
That is a good point though, because the way basketball is played, it very well could change in a couple years. We could not. Maybe you don't have to shoot threes in 5 years, and we go back to the big man game, and you're playing under the basket, and everything's in the key and stuff like that. Or maybe we go to, it's all about dunks. Like you need it's alley oops. We're doing the alley oops.
Or maybe they add a 4-point shot.
Or maybe they add a 4-point shot. So yeah, I mean. It does change. It is evolving. It's whatever works. So, you know, I know Doug's going to love this, but let's say the Pelicans are the next dynasty. They go on a run, and it's all about alley-oops. Yeah. It's all about throwing it up to Zion. And, I mean, it probably won't be Lonzo throwing the ball to him because Lonzo kind of sucks at basketball.
Oh.
But they'll get somebody in there. They'll get somebody in there who can do the job. Maybe LaMelo.
Could you imagine almost like a quarterback style of basketball, just run down the court as fast as possible and catch a half court alley oop to dunk?
Yeah.
How do you defend it?
You don't.
Exactly.
But that would be that's like playing a pickup game and you're always having that one guy who's just cherry picking.
Yeah, true.
That's kind of like that. That ain't gonna fly in the NBA. I mean, you may get caught on it once in a while, but they're just gonna lock somebody down there the whole time.
Stick them down there. All right, well, that's all we got for today's show, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to do these on a weekly basis. We've been kind of doing them on Thursday now. I know our original show's on Wednesday. Once stuff gets back to normal, we'll be doing it on Wednesday. And we're going to be opening up a new shop with a new studio, and things should be looking pretty tight once we get that dialed in. So looking forward to that, hopefully sooner than later, but there's really no timetable with what's going on that right now. But for breaks, check out mojobreak.com and everything's scheduled. Or break it every day. Everything's guaranteed to break, so you don't have to buy into something and wait like 3 or 4 days for something to break. It's guaranteed to break that day. So as of right now, we're sold out for today. So definitely get in on something upcoming, and we'll see you guys later on next week's show. Peace out. Peace.